saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from The Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like this show and you also like the paranormal, then be sure to check out my other podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every single Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, who's coming through? A conversation with Bruce Halliday. Just who are the voices that come through a ghost box? While we may assume that it's spirits or an otherworldly entity, just how specific can we define that? Earthbound, spirit world, even extraterrestrial? Bruce Halliday has been researching and studying these types of communications for more than a decade. Today, we discuss the different types of communication and who we may be connecting with on a ghost box session. I myself have recently gotten a ghost box, one of the last handful of months.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Have you used it yet?
I have been using it intermittently. I haven't really taken it out to a location or anything of that nature. It's just been kind of out here in my office. And, you know, I've not been using it daily by any stretch of the imagination. But right when I got it, I was messing around with it a little bit, and I could tell there were a couple times where I was getting little things here and there.
You know what it is, Tony?
Yeah.
First of all, to take it out to a location is fine, but there's a lot of external and ambient interference at a location. Mm-hmm. Like, you would have, depending on whether you were indoors or outdoors, you got wind noise, you got electrical signals from power lines and utilities. You got in the location, if you're indoors, you may be in a location that doesn't receive a good signal. It's tough to do a ghost box session on location, believe it or not. Your best bet is to do what I call a controlled session, which would be like, say, in your office. Mm-hmm. Where you set up a recorder, you have a predetermined session to do, like with a topic or a series of questions. Mm-hmm. You pick the best spot for reception and you do your thing. And that usually gleans the best communication.
That's interesting, because I think a lot of people, I mean, including myself, being a novice in that area, would think, you know, taking it to a place is what you should be doing. But really what you're saying is you can be anywhere and communicate with almost anything if it wants to get through to you?
Absolutely. And if you have a certain location, like say there's people that go to, like, just say Waverly Hills. Let's use that as an example.
Sure.
Okay? And they'll go to Waverly Hills and they'll ask for a specific entity that's purportedly haunting that location. Mm-hmm. By name. Now, they'll get some results or whatever. But now if I wanted to contact that specific entity, let's just call him Joe. Mm-hmm. Just for the sake of argument. And I knew Joe was purportedly haunting Waverly Hills, and I wanted to communicate with Joe. I don't necessarily have to be on location at Waverly Hills to communicate with him, even if he is an entity that's grounded or stuck or is occupying Waverly Hills. That's where technicians come in. Mm-hmm. If I was to ask my technicians to connect me with, specifically with him, mm-hmm. at Waverly Hills, they actually act as a relay station. They'll relay my communication to that entity at Waverly Hills and then relay his communication back to me through the box.
Which is interesting. I mean, and if for someone who hasn't heard our conversations before, a technician is almost, it's like an operator, if you will. We're not talking about somebody here, a human that's alive, that's coming in and working on your ghost box. We're talking about
it's a spirit technician. But they have a as far as ITC is concerned, as far as live spirit communication is concerned, mm-hmm. A technician is a vital part of our you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Our success. Okay, yeah, real hard word. Our success in communicating with entities that are not of this world. They actually do a number of tasks. They'll lend energy. They'll make the energy connection between us and the spirit world. They'll open that portal to have the energy flow back and forth. They'll add energy to entities that are trying to communicate that don't have a sufficient amount of energy to send their communication. They'll help facilitate it. They guard that doorway, make sure that no, you know, that they do their best to make sure that no negative or malevolent entities try to communicate or try to travel through that open portal that the box creates. Like I said, they act as a relay station between us and entities that are, you know, not in our immediate area, that are not communicating, not able to communicate through the box, but are earthbound. You know, they have a myriad of jobs over there, but without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do.
Let me ask you this. When someone turns on the ghost box and starts trying to communicate, are they always going to get that technician first, that first voice that they hear that kind of comes through that's somewhat not conscious?
Not necessarily. It depends on the operator. There'll always be a technician present.
Okay.
Always be a technician present to oversee the session. But if you don't have, like, see, I have set two technicians that I work with all the time, and I've been working with them for close to 15 years now. They manage every session that I do. The names are Mike and Lisa. Mm-hmm. And I know that they're there. I know that they'll be there when I turn that box on. So the first thing I do is I greet them. I ask for them. I make sure that they're there. I greet them by name. They greet me back. They let me know that they're doing okay. I let them know I'm doing okay. And then we go on with the session. So the first communication I receive in every session will be from my two technicians. But not necessarily you. Like, you haven't made a connection with a specific technician. Like, if you were to do sessions on a regular basis, and they were aware of you doing sessions on a regular basis, and your energy signature began to grow on the other side, they would become more aware of your energy signal because of the amount of sessions that you're doing, the amount of connections that you're making. So they would probably assign you a specific technician. So when your energy signal appeared from you turning on the ghost box, your assigned technician would actually pick up the session, and you would get, he would start to let you know that was that same technician there, and you would find out what his name is, and eventually you would build like a relationship with him. And you would know that he would be there to help you in any instance that you needed him. But for somebody like, you know, to intermittently turn on a ghost box once in a while, or, you know, to use different boxes all the time, or use apps or whatever the case may be, they're not going to assign a specific technician to someone like that. So whoever's available at the moment that connection is made will handle the communication and the session, but not necessarily interact with that operator, because there is no personal, there's no relationship connection between them.
Have you ever run into a situation where you've talked to someone else who uses a ghost box as frequently as you do that has one of the same technicians as you?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
I don't think there's anybody that uses a ghost box as frequently as me. I do a session every day.
True.
For the past, I would say, If I'm going to be honest, I would say for the past 10 years, mm-hmm. I've done a session almost every day, circumstances permitting, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's other operators out there, old timers that been around for a while, a good decade, that have established a connection with a technician, that have the same technician work with them on a regular basis. Yeah.
Tell me, I mean, how long did it take for you to kind of realize and, you know, understand what was going on, to put these dots together and these pieces of the puzzle together and go, there's like an operator here. And then, as you call it, a technician.
It took a while. It took a while. I, you know, I mean, in the beginning when we first started, I mean, I was only one of two guys that were doing any kind of serious research. I mean, there was a few people out there that had ghost boxes. Mm-hmm. Or reasonable facsimiles of ghost boxes, which, you know, there were a few people around doing manual sweeps and stuff like that. But another individual and myself were the first two to actually sit down and start to do research, gather data, do controlled sessions, with specific topics, specific questions, and try to glean information on who, what, where, when, and why. Mm-hmm. And I started to receive the same names over and over in every session. Mm-hmm. Mike, Lisa. And I would ask who these individuals were. And after not too long, maybe after a year or so, I started to get information, get answers from them. They didn't call themselves technicians. They don't have a name for that. That's what we call them. Mm-hmm. I coined that phrase way back in the day. But they don't have a name for themselves. They don't refer to themselves with a title. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They just refer to themselves by name. So mm-hmm. You know who they are. Matter of fact, my technician, Mike, he let me know way back in the beginning. He said, you'll know it's me. I'm going to say, what's up?
Yeah.
And you'll know that it's me. When you hear what's up, you'll know that I'm there. You'll know that it's me communicating, that I'm taking care of the session.
Sure.
So, even now to this day, matter of fact, my session yesterday, I got on, I turned the box on and I said, Mike, Lisa, you guys around, can you help me out today? And immediately the first thing out of the box was, hey, Bruce, what's up? So, I know it's him. And he says it now he sends it in kind of a kidding, like a humorous way, mm-hmm. Because it's been so long now that he says it I'm still going to throw that in there every once in a while,
Let me ask you this, because as we talk about who you're communicating with on the other side, and technicians for you now is usually the first line and then kind of moves into other things if you're requesting that then. But what about when you do request something, are there times where you get an entity that is not who you requested or who it portrays itself to be, or has some sort of ulterior motive or something when you're trying to reach out there and communicate?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. There's a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Was communication with extraterrestrials is one of them.
Okay.
And that actually leads into the topic you just brought up about false communication.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, we do get a lot of false communication. There's a couple of reasons for that I've been able to gather. The main reason being is if you're asking for a specific entity, say I'm asking for Joe Schmo, and I'll say, hey, Mike or Lisa, can you bring Joe Schmo forward to communicate with me? Let me know when he's there and able to communicate, mm-hmm. and I'll get a response. And I'll get, either a response of wait, or he's coming, or here, or something that'll let me know what the situation is with that entity that I'm trying to communicate with.
Yeah.
And then I'll start to get communication with, I'm here, or it's me. Something like that, and I'll say, okay, if this is Joe Schmo trying to, that's trying to communicate with me, can you say your name for me so that we can validate the communication? And I would say maybe 50% of the time you'll get them to say the name, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you ask another, what happens is this, I don't want to go off into that. I'm just going to explain, why we get faults. Communication most of the time.
Okay.
An entity that wants to communicate is it's such a powerful drive for them on that side, because it's their only venue, their only connection to the physical world, their only way to get whatever messages, whatever thoughts, whatever emotions they've carried with them over to that side that they weren't able to alleviate while they were here in the physical. The only opportunity that they see to get that across now, where it may reach some ears that it means something to, somebody that it means something to, is this type of communication. So they're chomping at the bit to get their specific message across or communicate in any fashion. Mm-hmm. So they'll practically tell you whatever you want to hear just to establish that line of communication, that open line of communication, and have your attention focused on them.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. to hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.